to those that are still in the world and have not yet entered into the kingdom of God. Psalm 49 is a call by the Lord, by His Spirit, to the world. It is a call to all of the earth to be saved. It's a call to every man and every woman and every boy and every girl to heed the voice of the Spirit, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be converted. It's a warning, if you will, to those who do not. Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. This message is for every man, every woman, every social condition, every person, no matter what his circumstance. The call of the Spirit of God is to every man. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. I will incline mine ear to a parable. I will open my dark saying upon the harp. Wherefore should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity of my heel shall compass me about, or when mine enemies surround me? They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious or expensive, and it ceaseth or faileth forever. But he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die. Likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. In other words, money will not buy eternal health, wealth, or happiness. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations, and they call their lands after their own names, in order for it to have a remembrance. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings. Selah. Men quote dead men, but it's all folly. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed upon them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. And their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Selah. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, or he called himself happy. Men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. Now here is a clear warning to anyone who is today alive, physically alive, and is trusting in something or someone other than the Lord for his eternal life. For the Bible says that earthly honor, earthly fame, earthly recognition, and earthly wealth do not go with you when you go to the grave. Even after you die, men should praise you and should quote you and should say, well, my granddaddy said. But that won't get granddaddy into heaven. When a man dies, if he does not have understanding, if he does not know God, the proverb says that the knowledge of the mighty one is understanding. You will not have understanding unless you know the Lord God. And in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is where you will find him and know him. And apart from a knowledge of the Lord, you will not have understanding. And the Bible clearly says that without that understanding, when you die, no matter what honors you have had in this life, you can rise to the president of your corporation. You can own your own business. You may have 40 dozen children to praise you at your funeral, but you will split hell wide open. You will never see heaven. You will never see the Lord, and you will live in eternal torment. There's only one hope for salvation. Only one name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. What is that name? It is Jesus. Today, the Spirit of God is dealing with those who do not know the Lord Jesus. Please, if you're unsure today about your circumstances and about your spiritual relationship with the Lord, please do not run. Please do not flee. There will be opportunities for you to leave, and you can do so. But please do not do so. Please listen to the Word of God and allow the Spirit of God, allow His mercy to surround you, allow Him to touch your heart, and give your spirit man, give your inner man an opportunity to hear the Word of God. Give yourself an opportunity to be saved. Give yourself an opportunity to be changed. Give yourself an opportunity to have a hope beyond the grave. Someone say amen.
Amen.
I want to direct your attention this morning to the book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the very first chapter. As I was reading through this passage in the last couple of weeks, one special phrase ministered to me in a way that I had never quite seen it before. And I knew that along the way sometime I was going to have an opportunity to share it with you. The revelation for those of us who have already experienced the new birth is not terribly profound, but is so absolutely urgent in my spirit today to proclaim it, that apparently it is deeply profound to someone or someones who will be in this service today. I'm going to begin to read from the very first verse of Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to read 14 verses so that we can get the context, and then I'm going to go back and take one verse. You will notice it when we're going through. It will be the 10th, and I will elaborate on that one. That's the one I want to concentrate on this morning. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I want you to notice the phrase this morning, in Christ, because that's what we're going to be talking about. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. You notice the in Him and in the Beloved and the in Christ, all these references here. In whom, there it is again, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. That's what redemption is. Forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will. He has shared with us what His will is, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. That in the dispensation, this is the will of God now, this is the mystery of the will of God that is revealed to us. Here it comes. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Now I said to you earlier that specifically, I feel the Spirit of God urging me to speak to the lost today. Whether you know you're lost or whether you're lost and don't know it, this is for you. And if you're not sure, just listen. God will minister His truth to you if you're not sure what category you fall into. The 10th verse contains the specific idea or phrase that I want to zero in on today, and that is that at the end of time, that at the last, the will of God is clearly revealed here, that God is going to make a gathering, and He's going to gather all things together in Christ. Everything that's in heaven in Christ, He will gather together. Everything that's in the earth that's in Christ, He's going to gather together. That which is not in Christ is not going to be gathered. In fact, it will be scattered in the lake of fire. Revelation 20 and verse 15 tells us, "And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." There's going to be a great separation at the end of the age. That which is in Christ is going to be gathered together under one head, under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. That which is in heaven, that which is in the earth, is going to be gathered together in one great family with Jesus Christ as head and Lord, and everything which is not in Christ is going to be cast into a place of everlasting burning and everlasting fire and everlasting destruction. There are two places of eternal abode. One is in Christ, and the other is in eternal torment. God is gathering only those which are in Christ. If you expect to be gathered with the family of God, if you anticipate that at the end of this age that you're going to be in heaven, if you expect to be with the Lord forever, you're going to have to be in Christ. There is no other way. That which is in Christ, He will gather. That which is not in Christ, He will cast into that veritable force of flame and fire and eternal torment. Colossians chapter 2 and verse, or chapter 1 and verse number 20 confirms this very thing. "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, those things which are in Him, He will reconcile to Himself." That means He will restore and bring back to Himself and gather together to be one family under one headship throughout all eternity. The earlier verses in this passage share with us why that is true. Verse number 15. Who, talking about Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him all things were created. Did you know that Jesus had made everything? Did you know He created everyone and everything? Everything that is in heaven and that are in the earth, everything that you can see visible, even those things which you cannot see, which are invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and what? For Him. He created everything for Himself. Verse 17. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the what? The head. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Jesus Christ is the head. Make no mistake about it. 1 Corinthians now, if you'll turn with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And reading several verses here, beginning at the 24th. I want you to see this same idea in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. Did you know that Jesus is going to put down every authority except his own? Did you know he's going to put down every rule and reign except his own? Did you know he's going to put down Satan? And did you know he's going to put down self? I said he's going to put down self. He's going to put down all reign and all power and all authority. For he must reign, verse 25, till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Did you know you could be an enemy of God? Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 tells us that you were enemies of God. You were alienated from God. Some of you may find this difficult to accept, but I'm going to tell you something that the Lord spoke to me. He spoke it to me just as definitely as I'm speaking to you this morning. And he said, many times, your mind, your intellect has separated you from me. And if you don't get this turned around, you will surely die. And I knew I was talking to God. I tell you, it shook me to the depths of my foundation. It shook me to the roots of my confidence. And I decided right then I didn't have to understand anything. All I had to do was know Jesus Christ as my Lord and give him rule and reign over my life. And you know, it wasn't 20 minutes later, I was speaking in an unknown tongue, baptized in the Holy Ghost, completely surrendered and submitted to the Lord. My life had been the same since. He said, I won't have you ruling in your own life. If you're going to be in Christ, I'm going to be Lord. You can't be your own Lord. If you are, you're not in Christ. It's only those that are in Christ that are going to be gathered to him. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, that is, the Father is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Everyone and everything will ultimately be subdued and subjected to the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul phrased that a little differently when he wrote to the Philippians, and he said, that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Someone may say this morning, well, how do I know if I'm in Christ? I want to be gathered within this great gathering at the end of the age. I want to be part of the family of God. I want to be in the kingdom of God. How do I know that I won't be cast into that eternal lake of fire? How do I know that I'm in Christ? If I have to be in Christ in order to be saved, how do I get in Christ? And how do I know if I'm in Christ? And the best explanation I can give you for that, the best answer I can give you, is right from God's Word. And the answer is in Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter number 5, that very familiar and powerful verse number 17. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, how do I know if I'm in Christ? How can I be sure that I'm in Christ so that I will know that I'll be gathered? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, say that with me. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, which man? Any man? Any man. That means any of you that are here this morning, if you would be in Christ, what will happen? He is a new creature. What does it mean to be a new creature? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Have you experienced a changed life? Have you become new? I mean, for real. Can you really look at your life and say, I'm new, I'm different? I'm not the same. I don't think the same way I used to. Since Jesus came into my life, since I have become in Christ, I am new. Can others look at you and say, what's happened to you? You're different. Have you ever had anybody say that to you about your spiritual life? Are you a new creature? Well, I'm not sure if I'm a new creature. The chances are 99 and 44, 100% that you're not. For if you are a new creature, you will know it. You just know inside. You think differently. You feel differently. You talk differently. You act differently. Does that mean you're perfect? No, but you're new. You're completely different. If you understand what I'm saying, would you say amen? Amen. How do I know if I'm in Christ? If you're in Christ, you'll be a new person. You'll be different on the inside. You'll think and act differently. And you will know it. Well, I don't really think I've experienced that, Pastor. I don't really feel like I've ever become a new creature. Then let me invite you to be one today. Let me invite you to join the family of God today and come into Christ today. You'll have to come the same way the rest of us did. You'll say, how is that? Maybe you're saying, that's really not for me. I'm too bad. I'm too far gone. I've lived 40 years or 50 years or 60 years or 90 years and it's too late for me. No, it's not. You may have been taught that God only chooses some and the rest He rejects. That's not true. God chooses you if you believe. The Bible says, whosoever will may come and drink freely of the water of life. If you've got your finger on that page we just read from, go two verses up and read that one with me, the 15th. The first line of it, and that He died for all. Jesus Christ died for all. Say, Jesus died for me. Say, Jesus died for me. Praise the Lord. Does that bless your heart? It's for you. No, you're not too bad. No, you're not too old. No, you're not too young. No, you're not too far gone. Jesus died for all. And if you will simply make Him your Lord and your Savior, you will become a new creature and be a participant in this great late ingathering. Pastor Rockhill, I hear what you're saying. But I've been raised in a church all my life, and I know that there's more to it than what you're saying. And I just know that a person must be good enough. What you're saying is too simple. There must be more. And I'm telling you, beloved of the Lord, that you have believed a lie. It is just as simple as I'm telling you this morning. The power of it is in its simplicity. Men have complicated it. God gave it to us simply. Galatians chapter 6. And verse number 15 says, for in Christ Jesus, isn't that what we're looking at this morning? How do we get in Christ and how do we know if we're in Him? For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. There's only one thing that matters about being in Christ, and that is that you be a new creature, a new creation, a new species of being. God's Spirit comes into your heart and changes you from the inside out until you don't hardly know yourself anymore. Somebody say amen. It doesn't matter whether you're circumcised. It doesn't matter whether you're uncircumcised. It doesn't matter whether you've been baptized or not. It doesn't matter whether you're a church member, whether your father or mother was in the ministry, whether you've ever made a chicken salad sandwich, or whether you've ever given a dollar to the church. None of that matters. You can't be saved on the basis of your own strength or on the basis of your own works. But you're going to be saved purely because you believe that what Jesus did, He did for you, and you simply accept it. In the same letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians in the 5th chapter, the 6th verse, he says the same thing, essentially, but he says it just a little differently. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. It is only your faith in a risen Savior that will cause you to be changed. Paul wrote this letter to a group of Christians who were sitting under some teaching. Teachers were telling them the only way that you can ever be right with God is to be circumcised under the covenant of Abraham. Paul says, since Jesus has come, Jesus has fulfilled that covenant. He did everything for you that needs to be done. When He died on Calvary, He paid the price for your sins. He took the penalty for them, and He broke the power of them. Sin has no power over you when you're in Christ Jesus. Don't you say it does. You're a liar. It doesn't have any power except what you give it. To be in Christ means to be new. It means to be different. It means old things are gone and new things have appeared in their place. It is just that simple. You respond to it by faith. You respond to it by simply believing. Now, I don't want anybody to make any mistake today. Nothing that is not in Christ, nothing outside of Christ is going to be included. There's only one way. That is to be in Christ. Revelation 21 and 27 tells us that anything that defileth, anything that maketh a lie, any abomination will not be included, but rather will be cast into the lake of fire. And I would like for you to go with me to the tail end of the Old Testament, to the second to the last book in the Old Testament, the last two verses, and I want to share something with you there this morning. I want to show you how significant this idea is today. You'll say, Pastor, he's just talking about people there? No. I heard Paul say, all things in heaven and in the earth. Not just people, things. You say, oh, God's not really concerned about things. He's not really concerned about inanimate objects. He's only concerned about people. Not true. Zechariah chapter 14, reading the 20th and the 21st verses. Talking about the day in which everything which is in Christ shall have been gathered together. What does he say? Zechariah prophesying hundreds of years ago about an event that is yet to take place. In that day, in that glorious day of the Lord, in that wonderful gathering of the family of God, in the day when the will of God is consummated, the mystery of the will that Paul was describing, in which everything which is in heaven and which in earth in Christ shall be gathered together, in that day shall there be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. Even the horses' bells will belong to the Lord. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be what? Holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. In that day there shall be no more the unbeliever in the house of the Lord. Now in this day, beloved, you can be an unbeliever and be a member of the church. In this day, you can be an unbeliever and you can come into the congregation like this and you can sing from the hymnal and you can memorize the songs and you can lift your hands and you can dance and you can rejoice and you can praise Jesus. You can sing in the choir and you can play the instruments and you can usher and you can even stand here and preach and not be a believer. But in the day when that gathering takes place, there will be no places to hide. You're either in Christ or you're done forever. Now, I'm giving it to you this morning as straight as I know how to give it. You're either in Christ or you're lost. Now, if I didn't believe that there was an answer for those of you who aren't in Christ, I couldn't preach this with such zeal. I would feel sorry for you. I don't feel sorry for you today because I know that there's an answer for you and I'm giving it. And the answer is that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You be in Him. Pastor, how do I go about doing that? In just a few moments, we're going to sing a hymn and we're going to make it a hymn of invitation. We're going to sing hymn number 408, I Surrender All. And if today you're not saved or you're not sure you're saved and you're not sure you're in Christ, if this afternoon at 4:30 God were to have the great last gathering of the age and you're not sure you're going to be there and you want to be, then I'm asking you as we sing this last hymn, I want you to step out from where you are. I want you to come to this altar, and I want you to let me talk to you, and I want you to let me pray with you, and I want you to come to this altar and say, I want to be in Christ. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to become a new creature. I want Jesus to come and live in me, and I want to be in Him, and I want to be part of His family forever and ever and ever. I want to shun that lake of fire. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I want to be gathered because I'm in Christ. And that may be all you know this morning. But you know you want to be in Christ, and you want to be part of that gathering. I'm giving you an invitation this morning to come and present yourself before the family of God and before the Lord Jesus Christ Himself at this altar and say, by coming, I give myself to the Lord Jesus Christ. I confess Him openly as my Savior and the Lord of my life. I want Him to cleanse me from my sin and make me a new creature. I want to be born again so that I can enter the kingdom of heaven. I will simply give you the truth as He gives it to me. And it's up to you how you respond. But if you're not saved this morning, and you're here listening to this service, and you heard God speak through the gift of prophecy this morning that He was reaching for you and calling for you, you perhaps didn't notice this entire service was just for you. The singing, the prophecy, the scripture, the ministry, the preaching, everything. He wants to come and take His church to be with Him, but He doesn't want to come just yet because you're not part of it yet. And He's calling out to you and He's urging you. If you've heard this message today, and I were in your place and I was lost, I would not want to stand before Christ. Now, I'm not trying to frighten you. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. If you're embarrassed this morning and you don't want to come and receive Jesus in front of all these people, at least when you leave here today, will you go home and get down beside your bed? I know some of you are here this morning, or the Lord wouldn't take this whole service for you. Amen. Everybody in this congregation isn't saved because the saved don't need this kind of a message. Right. Would you get down beside the side of your bed this afternoon and give your life to Jesus? And then come back here another time when you have perhaps a little more courage and speak publicly. Just speak to me and tell us that you have received the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Don't let this message be void in your life. And don't let the ministry of the Spirit of God be of none effect to you. I urge you to commit yourself to Christ. Make Him your Lord and make Him your Savior. Begin to tell others how to do it. If you want to do that and you don't know how, if you'll speak to me after the service this morning, I'll pray with you privately. Or if you'll call me during the week, I'll meet with you privately. It is so urgent that we commit every energy we have to this work. Don't you walk on the blood of Christ. Don't you treat it lightly, because this is not a game that we're playing. This is life's most important decision, for this one has eternal consequences.